Turn with me, please, to the book of 1 Samuel, book of 1 Samuel, chapter 21, and we'll read starting at verse 10. 1 Samuel 21, verse 10. Then David arose and fled that day from before Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said to him, "Is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of him to one another in dances, saying, 'Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s'?" Now David took these words to heart, and was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before them, pretended madness in their hands, scratched on the doors of the gate, and let his saliva fall down on his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, "Look, you see the man is insane. Why have you brought him to me? Have I need of madmen, that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?" David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. I'll stop there. As we've been looking at the book of 1 Samuel, focusing on David and his life, the last time David, we had seen, was fleeing. He's fleeing now from King Saul, and he is fearful for his life. And last time we had seen how he had gone to see the priest, and we saw his behavior there. We had seen that maybe his intentions weren't very pure, and how he would seek these things at the end of these verses in verse 9. He ends up taking the sword of Goliath, and we had said that sword didn't help Goliath, and we don't see it helping David either. He had to push the ephod out of the way to get this sword, and he was trying to take things maybe into his own hands, as it would appear here. So this was a tough point in David's life, and we see that continue as he flees that area now in verse 10 and goes to Gath. And Gath would have been a Philistine city, and perhaps in his mind he was thinking that Saul wouldn't follow him there. Perhaps it was a good hiding spot. But clearly, as we see as the verses unfold here, this was not where he should have been, towards the enemy's things. I'm reminded of Lot in Genesis, where he wasn't sinning when he was near Sodom and Gomorrah, but it led to other things later on. So it looks like David fled to the area of Gath, but as we see at the end of this passage, it looks like he was captured by those who live in Gath. He was captured by the Philistines. It was not his intent to be captured, to run from Saul and be captured by somebody else. But Achish says in verse 14, "Look, what have you brought him to me?" So Achish would have been the king of Gath or the Philistines in that area. And he was captured. David was captured and was brought before the Philistines. And we see how he had to change his behavior. We see first that his reputation did go before him. All the people of the Philistines, they could say the same thing that those in Israel were saying, that Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. They recognized who David was. In verse 11, "Is this not David, the king of the land?" He wasn't a king yet in Israel, but even the people who were, we could say, were not God's people, would know that this person was somebody important, and his reputation went ahead of him, even outside of the land. To make the application to us, our reputations go before us. If we have a reputation, before people maybe even meet us, they might have some things about us. So while reputations aren't everything when we interact with others, the Lord knows the heart. But it is very important about our testimonies to others, how we behave. And before this interaction, David had this reputation of being a future king and being a good warrior. But we see in the following verses, 13 and 14, what he had to do to get out of this situation that he was in. He had to pretend to be crazy, insane, to get out of this. And when we try to act in our own way, I'll say the application, we lose our dignity when we try and do things like that. And we see that David has to flee again from the presence of the Philistines. And then he is alone in the first couple verses of chapter 22. He's alone in this cave. I don't know if you've ever felt alone or lonely and maybe there's a storm out or something like that. All these situations you could think of to imagine David, who at this time would have been in his late teenage years or early 20 years, to imagine myself in that situation on the run, fearful for your life, and you're all alone in this cave. That's a very difficult situation to be in. But we see he was joined together with these other people who were in distress, and how important it is for us to have others to comfort us, and how we should comfort each other during trials. So this is what the account in 1 Samuel says, but the life of David is very unique in that he wrote psalms to go along with these events in his life. So we're going to look at three psalms that would that appear to fall in this time of David's life, and we'll kind of go in order through them, and we can truly see how David's heart was during these events in his life and see what we can take away from that. So the first one is Psalm 56. So we'll read Psalm 56. Psalm 56. To the chief musician set to the silent dove in distant lands, a miktam of David when the Philistines captured him in Gath. Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? All day they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather together. They hide. They mark my steps. When they lie in wait for my life, shall they escape by iniquity? In anger cast down the peoples, O God. You number my wanderings. Put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know because God is for me. In God I will praise his word. In the Lord I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. I will render praises to you. For you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? So this psalm appears to be written while David was in Gath, in the land of the Philistines. It says in the header, when the Philistines captured him in Gath. And this song in the header has, to the chief musician. So it would have been a song. David would have written this as a song. The chief musician may have been a title that would have been held perhaps in Israel, or some have suggested that really God is the chief musician, and this song would have been written to God to praise him. We see it would have this tune, most likely that's what that would be, the silent dove in distant lands. This would have been a psalm that would have been sung. And we see how maybe David in the text in 1 Samuel might not have been in the place he should have gone to. And maybe he was acting, it seems, in a way that was not having God direct where he should go. But this psalm really shows the heart of David. And we can see, well, we won't go verse by verse, but just to see the points and how beautiful this psalm and prayer really is. We could see in the first few verses how David senses these enemies. I'm picturing these people who captured him and are trying to build this case to the king of the Philistines. These are the enemies that he's speaking of. Maybe they were hunting him too, just like Saul was, and he would have been captured. And in verse 3, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. That, what a statement. What something that we can take from each day. We might not be afraid in the same sense that David would have been day-to-day lives, but we can certainly take trust and comfort in this. In verse 5, all day they twist my words, all their thoughts against me for evil are for evil. I can picture scenarios in whatever, in work or school, or people who maybe we don't get along with. They might try and say things that aren't true. You can picture somebody maybe trying to get you in trouble in school or something like that, where you can see this. I picture these enemies of David doing the same. In verse 8, we see there were tears in David. He was truly not only alone, but now he was in the enemy control and in the enemy territory. And if the constant question is, how does God allow these things to happen to us? That's what the world would ask, and even we would ask these things. How would God allow these things to happen to us or an individual? And we can see many examples of that in the scripture. But here we see David, he was going through this sorrow. He was in the land of the enemies, and God sees all of it. And David recognizes that God sees all these things. In verse 11, in God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? When you think about that and the mindset, what can man do to me? It really gives you a sense of peace. All these trials and tribulations, these things we might go through at work or with the house or whatever it might be, what can man do to me? In God I have put my trust. That is something that we can take from this as something to lean on and truths to lean on. And then it ends in verse 13, for you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? If this psalm is what written while David is in the land of the Philistines, he's already saying, you have delivered my soul from death, as if it already happened. He already is trusting the Lord to deliver him out of this situation. And of course, there were other circumstances where the Lord would have done that already. And we can look back on our own lives, I'm sure, and think the same, how the Lord has already delivered us. But I would read this verse 13, that David is already knowing that the Lord would deliver him from death. He already had delivered him from the lion, the bear, the giant, Goliath. But he would trust in the Lord throughout all of this. And he would see that God had this plan, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. That he would have a future, that there would be, the Lord would have more for him as he would continue in his life. At the beginning in the header, it says a mikdam of David, and that has the thought of, or this idea of it being golden. And truly these thoughts and these verses, like if we can take them to our heart and live the same way that David was, trusting this way, how precious that is as well. The second psalm is Psalm 34. We'll turn to Psalm 34. Psalm 34, and we'll read this psalm as well. A psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him, and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. So I think a visiting brother spoke on this psalm a few weeks back. We'll go through this psalm more a little bit holistically, and maybe not verse by verse to see what we can take from it. But this psalm would have been written as David is looking back on how he ended up escaping from the Philistines when he pretended madness before Abimelech. So I would suggest that he would have written this when he gets to this cave of Adullam in chapter 22 in 1 Samuel verse 1. he would be in this cave and looking back at how the Lord would have gotten him out of this situation. In verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Truly amazing to say this. David would still be alone at this time, but he was praising the Lord and writing this psalm. And to make this would be a psalm that would be written and perhaps sung as well. And this is something that we can sing in our hearts too. In verse 4, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Referring to, I would suggest, the previous psalm that he had written. He was reaching out to the Lord to deliver him, and he sought the Lord, and the Lord heard him and delivered him. Verse 6, I would suggest this poor man is referring to David himself, crying out, and the Lord heard him and saved him from his troubles. We've been going through prayer in other messages as well, and we see that the Lord answers prayer. If we reach out to him, he's not going to, he will always listen to what we have to say. Verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. How amazing that is. For you to understand what something tastes like, you have to actually do something with it. You have to actually put it in your mouth and your taste buds will understand. But if you don't really know, if you don't have any basis for what taste is, you won't be able to enjoy these things. David, having gone through what he had gone through, was able to say this, that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. There would be trials that we have, and going through them will give us an appreciation for the Lord and help us to trust him more. Maybe if we're going through something at the moment, it might not seem this way, but of course, God would have an ultimate plan that we might not have the same perspective on. So David can say this, taste and see that the Lord is good. He did understand this and is recounting how the Lord had saved them previously. We see verse 10, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. I wonder if David would have been in the cave and looking out at the wild animals that might have been outside to say this. And he might have been hungry too at that point. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Right now he didn't really have anything, but he could trust the Lord that he would provide. Verse 13 and 14 almost seem out of place in a psalm like this. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Often those verses might be taken out and used as memory verses and things like that. But really it's in this psalm that they're said, this context. And I would suggest that David might be possibly saying this to himself, not to speak evil of his situation, perhaps. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. He could be thinking of those who would have tried to speak poorly of him previously, those enemies. Depart from evil and do good. Positionally, he left this area which was not for him to be in, and to seek peace and pursue it. And we know who gives us the ultimate peace. And we see in verse 15, and as it continues, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to this cry. Again, we know who is listening to all of our fears, all of our concerns. Verse 17, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears. Again, delivers them out of all their troubles. And this would not just be troubles, large troubles like David was going through, as we mentioned. Anything that we are going through, we can cast our cares upon him. In verse 20, he guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. David came out of this without, looks like, any scratch, any concern, or any bodily harm. And then the Lord would have had him write this psalm. But we also know the Lord Jesus would have none of his bones broken too. We can see how David, as we've been noticing, would be a type of the Lord Jesus also. So David would trust the Lord Jesus. But then we see this line here. In verse 20, he guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. And we can relate that to the future day when the Lord Jesus would be on that cross and none of his bones would be broken either. In verse 22, the Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. It's almost as if David is realizing he needed to be redeemed. He coming to this realization, maybe he wasn't where he should have been, and the Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust him shall be condemned. when we go through trials, sometimes they may be because we are not where we need to be. But the Lord Jesus will not condemn us for what we have done wrong. If we trust in him, we don't have to feel condemned anymore. As we've been saying in the book of Galatians, if we feel like we have not lived up to the law, then we're condemned. But if we live in what the Lord Jesus has done for us, that is where we need to be. And we can live in the redemption of the Lord Jesus. We'll turn to the last psalm, Psalm 142. Psalm 142, a contemplation of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. I cry out to the Lord with my voice to the Lord I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before him, I declare before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path. In the way in which I walk, they have secretly set a snare for me. Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. So there are two occasions where David would have been in a cave, this one, and then when he was fleeing King Saul again in future chapters in 1 Samuel. But it seems likely that this would have been in the cave of Adullam as well. And we saw in Psalm 34 how thankful he was to the Lord. And I feel like we see in Psalm 142 the fear and loneliness that David was experiencing as well. He cries out to the Lord with his voice again. And in verse 2, I pour out my complaint before him. The word complaint in English now today, we think of it as something that's annoying or something that, you know, has a negative connotation. But really this word complaint could possibly be rendered my troubled thoughts. I pour out my troubled thoughts before him. I declare before him my trouble. And how wonderful it is that we can express these things to the Lord, and he knows and understands and will help us through these situations. His spirit was overwhelmed in verse 3, and yet he realizes that you knew my path, speaking of the Lord. The Lord would know the path, even though we may be overwhelmed or not sure of where to turn next. We see verse 4, look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. He's feeling alone in this cave by himself. No one attends to his cry, but in verse 6, he asks the Lord to attend to his cry because of his position. Oftentimes, the Lord will, always the Lord will be there when we need him, but there are some times where humility is something that we should accept as well. But wherever we are, we can reach out to the Lord. And verse 7, at the end, the righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. David, again, at the end of all this, these events he had where he was on the run, he went to Gath. He was released from Gath and fleeing to a cave, still fleeing from Saul, always on the run. He had this end vision, knowing that the Lord would deal bountifully with him. And we saw in 1 Samuel 22, verse 2, that everyone who is in distress, in debt, and his brothers, they did come to help him immediately. Not immediately, but in that moment, soon after this, the Lord answered his prayer in the short term. But we also know the future of David as well, that he would be the king and he would have all these things granted to him. The Lord would deal bountifully with him. So when we go through certain situations in our life, as we don't always understand the perspective that the Lord would have. And when we're going through them, we may be overwhelmed as David would be, and we should be, and we should strive to be as David, realizing that if we trust the Lord, we cast all our cares upon him, he will give us this peace, and we will trust that he will bring us through whatever circumstances we were in and deal bountifully with us. And if we just had the verses in 1 Samuel, it may have been very depressing to read the situation and the circumstances David was going through, but we have the heart of David poured out in these three psalms to show us and for us to learn from how he was trusting the Lord throughout all of these circumstances, which may be more than what we go through on a day-to-day basis, but to look to these psalms as a guide and how to handle ourselves. And the more we trust the Lord, the more peace we will be able to have, and just to be encouraged by David throughout all this, and that he had this vision in trusting the Lord, that the Lord would deal bountifully with him. So let us be encouraged by these words in the life of David.